Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Hotep. Welcome to the Care of the Read Room. You have your Omega 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. So how is everyone doing this evening? We'd like to welcome our new friends and say hello and welcome back to our old friends. You are in the Care of the Read Room. We are starting on our same segment of To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We got off the topic yesterday a bit to talk about the current event at hand, and we want to take you right back to our topic of discussion. And talking about Young, Gifted, and Black, we were also doing the playwrights, and one of the playwrights that I was recording and allowing the listening audience to listen to was on relationships. So we're going to be speaking on relationships, and we got a bit of catching up to do. So I am going to go right into the topic of relationship, and we are going to bypass our rituals today so that we can catch up with some of the topic and discussion. As you know, Michael Bazin is a household name now, and he speaks with urgency on topics. And one of the topics that he's been currently speaking on is the topic of celibacy. And it struck home so much today that I had to stop and take a breath and think about celibacy in relationships. and why would one want to go into celibacy? But it hit home today for me. I was struck with a blow, to remind myself that it might not be a bad idea to stay in the mode of celibacy, primarily because relationships can be somewhat damaging. I look forward to the laughter, the living, and the love of relationships, but it doesn't always come in that order. Sometimes we can get ourselves involved in a situation where we find that the order of those things happening doesn't always happen in that manner, and sometimes we find ourselves trying to keep up with the instructions of relationships, but it doesn't always turn out that way. Now, when Michael Bazin spoke of everyone in Atlanta turning to celibacy, I could very well understand what he meant. And it is true, ladies and gentlemen, for so many reasons, people are turning away from getting involved in a relationship for fear of being hurt, for fear of being exposed to STDs, and for all manners of reasons, for AIDS and inappropriate sex behaviors, the whole bit. Now, we can't base our whole life relationship on sexual intercourse. We have to know that there's more to a relationship than sexual intercourse. Now, what about those baby boomers and those men that are over 50, almost 60, who are having a difficult time with their erection? What about those men? Are they killing themselves to find the right person who can help them make it through the night? Are they literally blaming the female because they're not able to do what it is that they need to do? Why are they not conscious enough to know that there has been discussion that at one point a man might have a problem in that area and might need to go and see somebody about his problem? Now, I'm speaking to you men tonight. When you have that problem, be willing to admit it and be willing to go out and seek help. For God's sake, please don't leave it up to the woman. She can't carry you to the doctor. She can't diagnose you, and she can't be your cure-all either. But unfortunately, women are opting for celibacy because they're running into so many unbearable situations with men who won't honor up or claim the problem that they may be having with the inability to have an erection. Now, I'm just going to spell it out. Some men mentally are so strung out in their minds that they can't concentrate. Now, if you're still working an 8-to-5 job and you're over 50 or 60 and you're stressed out, you might have some hormonal imbalances that you need taken care of. You have to face it. You cannot rely upon your partner to diagnose your problem and to be able to fix your problem. Is she sexy enough? Is she appealing enough? Is she voluptuous? Can she turn you on? It is not her place to cause you to have an erection. That is something you obtain through your own mind. Now, I'm speaking to you men. Mothers, take your children away from the microphone. This is a topic for grown folks, okay? And we're going to speak from the heart today because there's far too many men out in the public that said they're ready to date and are looking for fine, good women like myself. And then they find out that their tools and their ammunition isn't working, and they find out that they are not able to compete. It's okay, men, but you have to come clean with women and tell them what the problem is. You can't go around blaming them for your inadequacy. Now, why are so many women requesting celibacy? Because they're tired of putting up with all of the misdemeanors and problems and issues that they can't seem to communicate with their man. Now, in the bedroom, here's where we're going. Let's go. In the bedroom. Now, can I come into your bedroom? Can I relax in your lounging chair? Because this is where I'm going to be sitting for the next hour. I need to talk to you men about what you're doing to these women. Now, men, if you sit up and watch TV all night and put on the pornography show and think that this is going to make you a better lover, then you're sadly mistaken. You're going to have to take some classes and some tutelage on understanding foreplay, because it's certainly not looking at pornography. As a matter of fact, you might damage your genitals from watching so much pornography, trying to keep up with what's going on the screen. You might even become impotent because of that. Now, if you are buying those videotapes, and if you are hiding them in your bathroom up under the bed, and if you are watching those tapes and sitting there for long periods of time, skidding yourself to death, and making your wife feel inadequate because you can't seem to understand that those tapes are not a prerequisite to having sex. Now, men, come with me on this. If you go to the doctor for anything above your chest that might be hurting you, such as a headache or a toothache, why won't you go and take care of a minor problem that deals with your genital areas? An erection is a very important thing. And when you're not able to get it and you're stressing yourself out in some other area, then guess what? You're putting excessive stress on other parts of your body. Now, I want to say something that you might not like. Some of you guys know how to go to a doctor and get checked out and know what stage you're in, but some of you probably wouldn't go to the doctor if all hell broke loose and an epidemic was right in your back door. Unfortunately, you don't understand the tattletale signs of a man who is going through mid-year crisis, so you wouldn't be able to diagnose an erection problem. You watch a lot of movies, I understand, and you see the way that they perform in the sex movies, but that is prematurely learning about your bodies, man. You got to learn about your bodies through the doctor, through someone that's skilled and trained. Now, why does your missus have to feel like it's okay for you to eradicate yourself and to sexually rouse yourself with movies in order to get yourself ready to spend time with her? You got to stop it. Kirk Franklin did a whole program on pornography and what it does to you and where it leads to. Now, for you men to think it's fun and game and that it's just extra sporting, it's wrong, and you're wrong. Now, let's go back to the engagement stage. If you're still trying to get yourself in the mood, why not start courting again and get in the mood and go and replay this whole scene where you met your wife and you first met her and the engagement part of it, the time you spent together, relive that. Maybe that will give you the unction and the nerve and give you that feeling again. But you certainly just don't jump in the bed and think everything's supposed to turn on like it did when you were 20 years old. It doesn't work that easy. Your blood vessels and your circulation is not even working that well now that you're 59 and 60. So how do you suspect that you will be able to get a bulger without actually putting the foreplay in? Now, we have to understand women have to have foreplay. And let's just come down to it. Men, you're not going to get around it because you have to get her prepared and excited about this occasional act. Now, we're going to be talking about relationships until we get it right. Now, I just came out of a 36-year relationship. I have not been dating for 4 years or sexually active for 4 years, and I want to get back in the game again, but I don't know how. I'm just going to tell you the absolute truth. It takes so much nerve and so much trusting of people, and people do not want to divulge their information. They don't want you to inquire about where they came from, who their mama and daddy is, what they're doing with their life. They're just too secretive. How in the earth in God's name are you going to have a relationship when you can't reveal who you are? You might be some disguised mass murderer for all I know, but you're going to have to put your cards on the table. My question is, have you been verified? That's the question we should be asking, ladies. Now, don't go jumping into a relationship with someone when they don't want to show you their credit score or tell you what their profit statement is if they own a business. You might be inheriting large sums of debt. You might even be inheriting all types of problems where they have never even divorced from their first wife. And there may be a reason why that man has never married before. All of these things need to be discussed in the courtship. And don't go telling the woman that I'm a bachelor and I don't need to tell you anything about myself, but yet I want you to give yourself over to me. You've got to bring something to get something, brothers. Come on now. We've got to stop with this madness. Relationships have got to get better. You've got to be on another level. You can no longer be telling the woman that you want her to be your only one. Baby, I want you to be the only one. Then you are folding every girl you can see and skimming off the top and the bottom as much as you can, and you don't want her to pick up the phone or talk to no one. Now, establish which stage you're at. Are you serious? And are both of you claiming to be serious? Then, brothers, you've got to get serious. If not, quit wasting that woman's time. Don't go playing that game that I'm going to be a bachelor to the day I die, and yet you want her to be in your house cooking like she has been bought with a price and has a dowry sitting in there on her bed with all of the money and the filthy lucre she wants. You cannot be asking for something that you're not willing to give, man. Now, if you don't have the money stashed up, I'm going to tell you like I tell my son. When you get ready to go buy the cow, make sure you got some money stashed up and you done saved some money so you can buy her properly and her family feels like she's secure. But if you walk in there, you don't have nothing to give but yourself, then you better be a great commodity and you better be worth something. Because time you can't make good on your property, which is you, they're going to clean your clock. Not only her, but a whole family. So, man, I'm not just jumping on you. Us women got to get it together, too. Sometimes some fine, good-looking men come by who are ready for a relationship and have everything together with their T's crossed and their I's dotted. They are ready, and I do mean ready. Then you find a sister that wants to play games, wants to send a man around the corner and a block a few times and play games saying they're unattached, knowing that they're still dating that man down the street. Now, we got to get it together. Because somewhere along the line, there needs to be a happy medium. And I'm not talking about, ooh, girl, I found him. I found him. Oh, yeah, he got everything going on, but he is still attached. He is married. But that's all right. No, it's not all right. Now, if you want to get into a situation like that, you might as well get into a polygamous situation and make it legal through the process of contractual agreement. Now, some of us are settling, and we have to settle because we want to be in a 7-to-1. And remember what I told you what a 7-to-1 was, that there's going to be a little correction here, that there's going to be 7 women to every one man. And they're just going to say, according to the Bible, I just want my head covered. Just cover my head. I want to wear your name. That's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. If it's not already happening, it's going to happen. Now, if it does happen, do we have a program in place that can accommodate us? And that's why, so we got to look at the polygamous outline structure of how we can package this thing and make it workable. People are afraid to get into relationships. I know I am. And as talkative as I am and as much as I love the horseplay and enjoy laughter and love, I am twiddling my fingers and shaking my toes on getting back into this game because it's not the easiest game in the world. It's one of the most difficult and colorful games because you never know who's really in love and how deeply in love they are with you and whether or not you're going to get hurt. Some of us have that thin skin. We don't want to get hurt no more. We don't want nobody hurting us or taking anything away from us, and we certainly don't want to lose our virginity to somebody who is not serious about being with us. So then they say, well, didn't you want it too? Isn't it something you wanted? So we both got something out of it. Women, it's a shame that some women have to say, yes, well, I wanted it too. So it's a mutual agreement. Then you walk away and chomp it all up. It used to be a time when women said, I'm not giving my virginity away unless I know you're committed. Now, the men used to look at that and say, all right, okay. But now they're looking at women saying, well, you're just going to have to die with it because I'm telling you that no man's going to wait around for you to get it right. They're going to go on to somebody else. You're going to make me love somebody else if you keep on treating me the way you do, as that song lyric goes. Well, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of celibacy going on. And Michael Bazin, you were right. There is a lot of celibacy going on. And Omi is not afraid to even tell you that sometimes it's the safest way to be. Because I'm telling you, that's why you find all this domestic quarrel and anger. People get angry when you tell them one thing and they're thinking another thing. Now, one of the well-known authors that Michael Bazin referred to, which I cannot think of her name now, she wrote a book, and she's a doctor, and she talked about the body parts and how a man has got to stop trading off for the body parts, the leg and the thigh and the ankle and the breast. He's got to buy into the whole body, and that means he's got to buy into the mind. Why are men so afraid to discover our minds, women? Are we light years ahead of them that they're afraid to have to compete with us in a conversation? I'm telling you, sometimes I have to keep my mouth shut because I think the man is so intimidated when I open up my mouth to have a discussion. If I'm not talking on something lower level, then if I talk intellect, he just shuts down. Man, you've got to get to be more intellectually inclined. Does that mean watch more TV? Because I'm all down with that. No, it doesn't. It means to read an article, pick up a magazine, or even get a Kindle and start reading. But just become informed. Because women are so light years ahead of you in their conversation and knowledge, it's making you look like child's play. Now, when I do meet a brother that has it going on in the communication department and can affluently conduct a conversation and handle his business in the communication area, I am highly impressed. I am so impressed that I will shut up for a moment, and you know that is hard for Omi to do. Because we want the men to carry the conversation, but they first have to have something to talk about. And I don't mean talking about the latest Nintendo. Boy, you know I've been playing Nintendo for the last couple of days, and I am having a great time up in here. You better grow up. You better come out of the Nintendo stage and grow up. Now, if you want to play games, get the Wii game and play it with her. Start interacting with your spouse and your significant other so that you get to know the mind of your significant other and get to spend time thinking. I think if you mostly would get together and meditate, you begin to send transcendental messages and get to know each other's mind. Because truly, body parts are a waste if you haven't got control of that woman's mind. Now, I said that any man that could get to know me and know how I think, I am highly impressed. And there was only one man on this earth that could read me like a book and that knew me better than I did myself. That man spent a lot of time studying, and that's what we're going to have to do, men. We're going to have to study our women. Because we're so clever, we have already sized up. we walk in a room, and we pretty much know about your mama, your daddy, your grandmother, and when you came into being. But why is it that you have limited knowledge about the women, as if you don't care? It is more important that we know more about who we're sleeping with, because we have to know who the last person was, and is there any STDs, and have you not reported having any HIVs? These are things that should be out in the open and discussed. We've got people going to jail now because they refuse to tell people about their HIV status. So you can't be playing games with people's minds and their bodies anymore. We've got to get down serious. So therefore, we're reordering the marriage vow for the African American for the 21st century. We have just tore up the doggone thing called marriage, and we're going to have to repair it, regroup it, and recreate it just to suit us. We're not suited up any longer for the same cookie-cut marriage for everyone. There are so many lifestyles these days that we must customize our lifestyle and our marriages. That's what African American needs, a customized marriage certificate, one that can be customized to fit the climate of the two entities that are coming into an agreement. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to feel offended. Sex is not the only thing that will drive a relationship. The exterior of a person's derriere is not the only thing, men, or their front part. We must vow to commit ourselves to get to know one another. Not just what kind of food she likes to eat, but we got to study that woman. We got to know her emotions, and we got to know how to calm her down. Just like when women have to pet a man to talk him out of his nonsense when he becomes quickly angered over nothing. Come on now, darling. Have a seat now. Please, darling, sit down here. We got to get up in the morning and say, "Morning, dear." And then she says, "Morning, hon." Role play the thing until you get it right. I mean, my husband and I used to get up and I would be grouchy. I said, "Morning, dear." He said, "Morning, hon." And we go on the next step with the next phase until we got into the role and became the role. You got some people that don't even speak to each other in a sexual act. They don't even embrace each other. They don't even like each other. You got to like your mate as a friend, as a person. You got to admire them. So if you're not admiring this man and liking this woman, you have no business getting together. And don't go telling me it's for sexual attraction. No, no, no. You've got to eventually appropriate with that child. Sex is for two things, appropriating and for regeneration. Now, if you're not regenerating your body and you're not ready to bring a child into this world, you have no business engaging in sex. Because those are the only two reasons that you need sex. That's why we got to redefine what sex is. That's why you have so many people confused about where to proceed. We've got to get clear on where the clitoris goes and the penis goes. We can no longer be fiddling around with amateurs who are not familiar with what the sex act should be. Now, that is why we're reordering the marriage vow for the 21st century. And if you'll step over to the talking cue room with me, I'd like to put on one of the tapes that you will be hearing in the audio book entitled Reordering the Marriage Vow for the 21st Century. I take this man to be my lawful wedded husband, and sickness and death, and good and bad, as if that's to his part. Remember to also insert your own vows. Yes, I will love this man, in spite of his inadequacies. When times are bad, when he is out of work. When times are good, when we are prospering, I will learn to abase and abide. Oh, yes, I will love this woman. For time in eternity, I will wash her feet when she cannot
care for herself. I romance her and love her and cleave unto my wife only. I will share with her in my abundance. We will cling as one and become one in bond. Yes, I did take this wife of my youth to be my lawful wedded wife. To death do me part, or us part. What does the death do me part mean? Does it mean that you physically die? No. The marriage can physically take a death without you physically perishing. You must remember that in this relationship, there is death that takes place, but you can renew and infuse the marriage by remembering the covenant that you have with the community. Remember, in the marriage, you ask the community, who this is approved of this union taking place? Let them now speak or forever hold their peace. Those people are also held accountable. You can go to them, and you can ask for their assistance and help without feeling the shame if you're in your own black community. Because we are who we are but by the grace of God. And I am who I am because they have made me that way. They have covered my marriage to help my marriage prosper and grow. I can go to them unabridedly and ask for wisdom and not feel ashamed. I cannot sever this relationship without considering all three entities that are involved, and that's the creator and the community. After you have tasted the bittersweet and the salt that will be so salty to your taste buds and the honey, remember this covenant. Remember the time and place that you've taken it, because so many times you will have to reflect back upon it. Now carry your bride away to be. Let the music commence. Let this joyous day be remembered for time and eternity, because this is a ceremony that will take place for 2 or 3 hours as the pastor or the priest asks the community questions and begins to confirm your commitment to this solidified marriage. Now that you are married, be ready to come out of those swimsuits. You're going to get into gear now. You're going to put on the equipment for the deep sea diving. The pressures will be on. Oh, yeah. You will have pressures from the in-laws and possibly pressures from your mother and father to bring about the grandchildren. Oh, yes, you must have children in this relationship. Oh, didn't you realize that there was an appropriation period and your family will try to decide that for you? But don't fear. It all will work together for good for them that love God. Make sure that your union has God at the center and draw all of your sources from the threefold covenant and do nothing without the guidance or direction of your creator. And you pray together. You meditate together. Let's stop now. Let's stop now and synchronize. Synchronize our vital signs. Do this with your spouse periodically to see if she's on the same page of music, and see if you are working on one accord. If you tend to be a little bit out of harmony, then take a deep breath. Breathe with me now. Breathe in and out, because the pressures will begin to be on. But before you take that deep sea dive into the ocean, remember you're carrying with you your Camille that was shining so bright before the marriage. You must continue to buff it to keep it shining bright and put it up on a shelf and keep it there for safekeeping, but also remember to take it out and to use it throughout the marriage. What we don't use, we will lose it. Whatever it took to get him or her, you must now use that to keep him or her. She'll want to be taken out on dates, to be wooed, to be comforted, to be loved, to be flirted with. And he'll want to be adored. And he'll want to show off his stocks that he invested in. Now remember, a man has to be adored. And if he isn't, he will surely go to the streets to find someone who will adore him. So go on and adore a woman. Tell him he's good and bad. Tell him you love the way he curls up around you. Tell him you love the way he pillow talks to you at night. Tell him you love the way he holds you around your waist at night. Tell him you love the way that he lays you out in bed and prepares to cover you with flowers and kiss you from head to toe. Go on and tell him, because if you don't, he'll look for it somewhere else. And man, make sure that you have this woman's best interest and that you have eyes for her only. Patronize her with beautiful gifts, a dowry, of clothing pieces that you'd like to see her in. Not only what maps for the house, take her out to find places to show off. Remember, she's like a china cup that you've now taken off the shelf, and you want to take it out and sport it. You know, you want some men to desire it, but you don't want them to touch it. So don't play around, and don't play games, and don't sell her cheap. And women, don't prostitute your gift. Not with your own husband. Don't prostitute your gift. Sometimes you can play that game where you're using what you have between your legs as a tool for manipulating that man. Remember, when he invested in you, he bought your stock, and he now owns them. Now, let me tell you the story about stock. Let me clarify that. When I was a young girl coming up, my sister taught me early on that I was at the bank and that I owned stock and that my stock could depreciate if I sold them off. And that my stock could also appreciate and go up in value if I held on to it. Cause two, if you don't know how to handle the sexual relationship, you don't use this to punish a man, and you don't use this only to keep a man. If he is smart, he knows that you can heal him with your body and your estate. Yes, your body will become an estate, an institution, a pillar for him to lean on. So let's go and remember. But now that you're putting on the gear, the pressures will be on from the outside world as well as from yourself. What do I mean, pressures from yourself? But we love one another. For the time. What I mean is the pressure for you to esteem him or her. What that target is already fulfilled and has self-confidence and self-worth. There's less work for that partner to do and less stress on the relationship or the marriage. So build yourself up and esteem yourself, and don't wait for your partner to esteem you. It'll make it a lot easier on the relationship. And before you know it, you're nagging. It looks like you're nagging today. I don't want to hear it, so I'm out of here. Remember, the tone of your voice is everything. Darling, I'll do that for you. But if you can remember, please keep the tone sweet down. Because sometimes my little round honey falls in. And it's difficult for me, if you don't mind. I'll do that something for you, sweetheart. I don't want you falling into nobody's terrors, too. There's a way that you can do everything. In many different ways of skinning a cat. What you have to remember is the pressures will be on from yourself. Sometimes because you're feeling pressure from around you. You're nagging a little bit more. You left the stove on down here. Are you cooking something? Who's cooking dinner tonight anyway? I'm tired, too. I have to go do a JLB today, too. It's your turn to wash those dishes. I thought we had agreed that we were going to work together on the weekends. You have forgotten about your chores. No, I'm going to the game tonight. I'm hanging out with the boys. I'll see you later, much later. Oh, no. Get that together immediately. Deal with that situation before it snowballs into something you don't want to live with. What do I mean? This problem's cropping up. But why? I'm creating these problems? Yes, you're creating the problems by not communicating properly. You know, sometimes we come in from work and all we want to do is find a quiet place to be alone. We don't want that man or woman saying nothing to us because we haven't had a very successful day at the job. You must remember, express your feelings to other people to let them know that there is a timeout period for you. Be able to send up the SOS flag and ask somebody to give you your space. You will fight for your space now, because when you are binding together, it will look like you're becoming one. But you still must be an individual. Have your own personal time, your own personal opportunities to develop your skills. But you must communicate this. I don't think either one of you got a degree in mind reading. You must stop and tell each other, maybe I need you to comfort me today. The world has been so hard on me. I can't see my way. Just hold me right now. Put your arms around me. Let me just rhapsody into your body until I can come up and feel whole again. But then, I need you to love me like you've never loved me before. My spirit has been broken. Today wasn't a good day for me. I didn't sell or perform well on the job. I need you to substantiate who I am. Help me to get through this difficult moment. Be able to communicate. And don't be so loud and let the other side of your personality, the seven personalities that I talked about, scream out at you. I don't care. This is my life. You don't tell me what to do. I'm grown. Am I stepping on someone's toes? Am I stepping on your toes? Well, I hope so. That's what this is all about. This is to speak to you concerning your inadequacies, to help you be the very best that you can be.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for going with me on that talking cure. And we will continue this on the Kick It Up Day on Friday. We're going to be getting out of here right about now. That tape that you just heard was from Reordering the Marriage Vow of the African American for the 21st Century. You definitely want to purchase that talking head book because it will be instrumental in helping you in your relationships. As a relationship counselor, I hope that I have been some service to you and will continue on this same path. If you have information on relationships that you'd like to share or you'd like to talk about, it would help me to bring closure to the chapters of our last chapter. We're putting this on the talking care category because it is an audio book and it will go on to be a book that you can utilize in your relationship. I'd like to thank you and the chat room for chatting, And I'd like to thank you for coming to visit us, and I hope you're up for it tomorrow. We'll be in the room tomorrow talking. Our chat room is full, and we like to say hello to those people out there that are chatting. Thank you so very much. We sure would have liked for you to come in the Care to Read room and voice your opinion. So on that note, just get your dancing shoes on so we can kick it up.